Joining me live over the phone is Andy Griebel with the Bridger Teton National Forest. Randy is the Ecosystem Staff Officer with the BT, and we'll talk some elk feed grounds today. Good morning, Randy. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you taking some time with us today. So wanted to have you on the air to talk specifically about the Forest Park and Dell Creek feed grounds and the proposal from the Game and Fish to continue elk feed ground operations and what this process is, what the proposal is. And so, Randall, take us back to kind of how this all works. Understand this has been a couple of years actually in the making to get to the point where we're at now.
Yeah, so the state, in particular the Wyoming Game and Fish, operates 8 elk feed grounds on national forest system land. Now there's 23 feed grounds total, including the National Elk Refuge. So 22 of those are operated by the state, and 8 of those are on forest system lands. So in order to do that, they have to have an authorization or a permit to occupy the Forest Service land. They have facilities there to do their elk winter management activities. The permit that they were operating under for Dell Creek and Forest Park expired in 2016. We've been operating under short-term one-year use permit since then. And in order to renew the permit, we need to go through what's called the NEPA process, and for like a longer term 20-year permit like they'd been operating since 1996 under. So we're in that process right now, doing the environmental analysis on that request by the Game and Fish to continue winter elk management activities on those two feed grounds as they have been for the last 20 plus years. And right now we are in the stage where our draft environmental impact statement is out for review by the public. And so that went out on December 1st and it closes on January 16th. And so if folks are interested in this process or this project, please take a look at the draft EIS. And if you want to submit comments, get those into us by the 16th. We will then process those comments and then we will eventually, probably about a year down the road, produce what's called a final environmental impact statement, FEIS, and a draft record of decision, which will then go out again for a comment period. So that's where we're at right now, and I'd be happy to entertain any specific questions you got on the process.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, just to give our listeners kind of a geographic area, the Dell Creek and Forest Park, this is like the Grays River area, Bondurant area, where those two feed grounds are located, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. And so the public comment period is open now. I understand there's a couple of different proposals on the EIS that the Game and Fish is kind of looking at. One that would just grant the 20 years, one that would kind of do an emergency only, and one that would just stop the use of the feed grounds or stop the feeding altogether. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So the actual proposed action that the Game and Fish wants to do is to continue normal operations as they have been for the next 20 years, which is the lifespan of a permit of this type. There's 3 alternatives in addition to this proposed action that we're looking at also. One of them is just a straight up quick cold turkey, cut it off and be done with the feeding process at that point in time. The state would be given a 3-year special use permit to go ahead and disassemble and their facilities and rehabilitate the area and take care of noxious weeds. The other alternative is a phase out alternative where they would be authorized to go ahead and continue feeding elk on the feed grounds for 3 years. And then after that 3 years, it would be basically shut down or eliminated. And then they'd have another 3 years to disassemble facilities and rehabilitate the sites. And then finally, the last alternative is, as you mentioned, that emergency feeding one, which is a little bit more nuanced and there's quite a bit more triggers associated with that. So basically it's not feeding unless there's a situation where we have intermingling with elk and cattle or private land issues with the elk that would trigger the emergency feeding, or a significant mortality event with juvenile elk, then that could also trigger the event also. So those are the alternatives. Again, there's the proposed action by the Game and Fish and then 3 alternatives.
So, Randy, as we've talked with some of our local community members here, just within our listening audience, also we have the Game and Fish come on a regular basis. Obviously, they're in favor of continuing, you know, the long term, which is why they did the proposal, right? And so that's not a big surprise. Is there any indication on the feeling amongst the Forest Service on what way they would like to see this go? Or can you shed any insight on that?
No, yeah, you're right. So the state would like to continue operations as they have been over the last number of years. And they are working also on their own feed ground management operation at the state level, too. So there could be nuances to how we the Forest Service don't tell the state how to feed and you know, to do that. It's totally up to them. They could even maybe just not feed at all on the feed ground 1 year if conditions are right. However, saying that, no, the Forest Service right now, we don't have a preferred alternative. Sometimes that comes out in the draft EIS, but we have not selected a preferred alternative. There's a number of nuances associated with this project. The biggest one is, and the biggest kicker is, chronic wasting disease, which is just a brutal disease that has moved its way west through Wyoming. And once you congregate elk in a tight, you know, knit formation, like you see at a feed ground, it can exacerbate disease spread, and CWD is one of those that can just have massive ramifications. So we have to consider that, in addition to the primary purpose of the feed grounds from the state's point of view is to decrease brucellosis transmission to private landowners that have cattle operations nearby. You know, elk depredating on haystacks or native winter range on private lands. And so those are all things that have to be considered and kicked around in this process. And so we don't have a preferred alternative yet. We had a major effort with the U.S. Geological Services, and they're disease experts as far as modeling some of the impacts of what we expect to happen in the next 20 plus years with chronic wasting disease now in the area. You know, what does that look like in a feed ground scenario? And so there's pluses and minuses to feeding versus not feeding and all these ramifications. That's probably why the EIS is as lengthy as it is. It's a lot to digest. There's a lot of science in it, but it's really good. There's some really nice synopsis and summary tables that kind of evaluate our certain objectives that we're looking for, whether it's socioeconomic or elk populations or impacts to local ranchers. And the pluses and minuses of each one of those alternatives, and you can kind of see those as you read through the document. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We don't have a preferred alternative yet. That is yet to come. But we will eventually get there when we come out with the final EIS and the draft decision.
Randy Griebel, the ecosystem staff officer with the Bridger-Teton National Forest, and again, discussing these options for the two elk feed grounds in western Wyoming, specifically Forest Park and Del Creek feed grounds. And so, Randy, I guess right now the biggest thing for the public to be aware of is the January 16th kind of deadline to submit public comment, correct?
Yes, correct. Absolutely.
And the best way to do that is how?
Oh, yeah. The best way is to go on to the Bridger-Teton National Forest webpage and then go to the projects link and then find the Del Creek Forest Park Elk Feed Ground Project. And you can just click on that, and then it has everything in it. It's got like the draft EIS, some of the supporting science. The Game and Fish did a really nice report for this. And the USGS report, which is foundational to the entire analysis, is in there also if you want to look at that. And then there's a link on the right side on how to make your comment. You can just click on that link and put your name, contact information in there, write your comment in there. Or if you got attachments too, it's like, hey, have you considered this? You know, that's where you can stick maybe a science review or something like that we may have overlooked or didn't consider, and then get that submitted by the 16th.
All right, that's again, online at the Bridger-Teton National Forest website. We'll have a link to that posted on our website as well, so people can go ahead and find that. Randy, anything we missed about this proposal and on these two feed grounds?
No, I appreciate it. It's a very controversial issue. There's a lot of stuff in the background, you know, and a lot of impacts that are happening, whether it's disease related or you know, just populations of elk and things like that, and how that all interacts in a feed ground scenario with things like chronic wasting disease, and on the flip side, brucellosis, and how that impacts the local economy and producers around here. So very, very difficult project to weed through, but it's foundational to what we're doing, and should be. Hopefully we get through this process fairly quickly here and over the next year, and come up with a decision probably within a year or so.
That's Randy Griebel, again, the ecosystem staff officer with the Bridger-Teton National Forest. Randy, I'm sure we'll touch base on this one a little bit later on. Thank you for your time today.